On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hey, welcome to the program. How you doing? It's the weekend. Yay, coming up. Yay, it's weekend now. Yay. But it's overshadowed by another tragedy, as you all know. You know, it's interesting in doing this kind of thing. I've been in radio broadcasting for over 25 years. I started in 1989. With a broadcast station in New England, and then went to another one in 2000, and was on that that second radio station for about 13, 14 years. And during that time, I was there for the 2001 thing, the 9/11. So I've been on air for a long time. I've been on air before this stuff really even began, and then after as well. And now with the podcast, the same thing. So I'm used to coming on the air and being in an awkward position, not that it matters to anybody, of whether I do my usual thing, which is to be uproariously humorous, because what I do is bring a smile on your face, I think, I hope, you know, with my ridiculous, obscene sarcasm. my grumpy, horrible mood, you know, that kind of thing. And we interview guests, which are incredibly informative in many aspects of life. But what I basically do when I'm doing my shtick is a little bit of comedy. I'm a humorist. I have a humor. And something like this happens when there's a terror attack. Anybody that does a show like this, whether it be on television or radio or whatever, you are compelled to say something, but at the same time, you say to yourself, well, who am I to even comment on something like this? Well, we all comment on it in our conversations at home and at work and all that. So I'm going to take just a very short period of time at the top of the show to go through this, and then I'm going to get on with what I usually do. It's almost now expected that every couple of months there is going to be some type of worldwide terror incident of significance. I'm not talking about tiny things anymore. I'm talking about things where there, you know, 50 people, 100 people affected, that kind of thing, and then some. Major terrorist incidents. They happened all over the world. If they haven't happened in certain places, they could. There isn't a corner of the globe that really doesn't have to be concerned about this. And what everybody gets wrong, including some of the politicians, they say, we are at war, this is war. War is such a broad term. It's when you're aggressively going after another faction in order to wipe the other faction out and to end their tyranny or effect on your faction. That's a war. We've had a war on drugs. We've had a war on countries. We've had a lot of different kind of wars. Some are successful. Others are simply declarations by title. And in many cases in our country, when you declare something by title, you can get funding for it. It gets very financial. When candidates come out, or people come out, or people who run the country or whatever come out and say, this is a war, they have to understand something that I think that I do understand. I think this terror thing is very similar to gangs. ISIS does not have a country. There's no country of ISIS. You can't really wage a war against something that has no territory, no armies, no physical place to go necessarily. That's very difficult. People have to understand you're at war with a theology. You're at war with an idea. It isn't, these people don't need fighter jets. They don't need warships. They don't necessarily need nuclear weapons. All they need, as in case of what happened recently here, all they need is a truck and a guy that believes in their cause and maybe a rifle. It's all you need. How do you combat that? Well, you don't combat that physically. And you don't take an entire religion of people, Muslims, and you don't vet them all down. Because that's what ISIS wants. That's what ISIS uses to bring people into their gang. They use that information. Look, the United States is actually going after you, Muslims. So join us. They're going after you. Don't let them do that to you. Join us. They are your enemies. And then the United States is in a worse place because that's not what we really want to do. And you can't, constitutionally, you really can't in this country anyway. Ron, what's your point? My point is we're fighting against an ideology. We're fighting against thinking, the way people think. And I liken it exactly to gang members, people who were lost. And somebody comes along and says, I will take care of you. You don't have to worry. You will be my brother. We will be your family. You'll never have to want for anything again. And when it comes time for you to die and meet your maker, we will send you directly to heaven. We've got a staircase all set up for you. What more could a person want? What more could a lost person want? And how does ISIS reach these people who they recruit, because these are lost people? These are lost, angry people. How does ISIS get them? Social media, the internet. And that's why one of the reasons I constantly say that the internet is a wonderful thing, it's also a horrible, dangerous, infinite evil thing as well. As most things are, there's a good side and a bad side. What we need to do is combat ISIS through social media, through the internet, because that is what they use. They tell their members and their supporters, don't come to Syria to be trained. Don't come to the Middle East for us to train you. You don't have to. If you agree with us and you want to be united with us, get a truck and mow people down. It's a scary scenario. You kind of wonder how this couldn't have happened before, but it is happening now. We are going through a shift in our lifestyle. Certainly the people in France are, where if you're going to go to a place that has large crowds, better open your eyes to the fact something could happen, and there's nothing much you can do about it. So do you go or do you not go? So ISIS and that evil faction has actually changed our lives. They've succeeded in that sense. So if you're going to wage a war on evil, it has to be done through social media. You have to shut their sites down. Social media companies, internet companies, have to start participating in what they didn't ever want to do. There's a certain freedom in our country, but if you act against our country and threaten us, your freedoms are taken away. It is not a country of total freedom, no matter what you want to do, no matter who you want to destroy. That's not the way we're set up. That's wrong. You can't go against us, and if you do, you're punished accordingly. And I think that internet companies, social media companies, have to start getting down and shutting down these sites and these communications through ISIS and ISIS-related groups, because that is their number one and perhaps only method of communication for recruitment of those who become ISIS members. That has to be a worldwide effort. Every single country has to be involved in that effort to start blocking those communications. And internet companies that are so mindful of oh no, we can't investigate through our internet sources. We're not, that's a violation of freedom. The violation of freedom has already begun. It's time you got into the fight and shut these sites down that recruit. Start shutting down the social media encryptions that get people involved in evil. And that's the way I think about it. It's a sorry thing. It's a sorry thing we even talk about. Sorry thing it happens. My God, if I lived in France, I don't know. It would be a change in life. And of course, you can't do that. You can't change your lifestyle, and you can't let somebody do that to you. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, especially over in France. And it can happen in this country, and it has. It does. Not as frequently, not as easily, but it does. But you can't wage war on people. You can't say that Muslims, that this extremist group is all Muslim. There are other extremist groups. They must all be stopped. Evil must be stopped. The organization of evil must be stopped through their only means of communication, which is through the internet. And all internet companies and all internet factions must enter into this 100% and shut down evil through their own communication devices. Thank you so much for listening. Have a good day. It's not over yet.
You're listening to Ron Van Dam on Metro South Podcasting. Oi, he's such a mensch. I mean, a nice mensch, don't get me wrong, but still, really, a mensch.
Okay, along these same lines, I'm sorry I'm not being like incredibly humorous today because there's important stuff going on in my head. And I don't know, I think you have to honor that feeling every once in a while. So I hope you stick with me through the rest of the program here. I promise that by Monday we'll get back to the usual kind of stuff. People are traveling to other countries as we speak. And there's something that goes on in the back of your mind when you travel to another country. We're like, I got to think this through. Is this a dangerous situation? Is it a good situation? And you kind of don't know. You don't always know. Look what happened in Orlando. I mean, Orlando, come on, man. So, if you do travel and you love to travel, and many people do, and it is a time of year that people do choose to travel, as it is most parts of the year, travel insurance is important. There are ways that if you book a trip and something gets very tenuous about the location that you're going to, or you get a little tenuous about it, well, you know, once you book, you're kind of booked, or are you? And there's such a thing called travel insurance. So I thought we would take a look at that, because that kind of plays into what happened here as an angle. So let's talk to Mark Murphy.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Hey, great. Great talk to you. Mark Murphy is a travel expert. He's featured on CNN, Fox News, Fox Business, CBS. He's everywhere. Let's just face it. Let's not go through the list. Hey, Mark, good to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's time for people to travel, whether it be by plane, train, car, whatever the case may be. It's time to move around and get away a little bit. And that concerns a lot of people for many reasons, because there are some challenges to traveling. What are some of those? Let's start with something interesting, which is the Zika virus. A lot of people like to vacation down in the South America area, and of course the Olympics are going on there. Is that a concern of travelers?
Well, you know, Allianz Travel Insurance came out with the Vacation Confidence Index, and what it indicated was that roughly 70% of Americans wouldn't travel to Brazil, for instance, because of the Zika virus. Where it's affecting other areas like in the Caribbean and Mexico, it's really affecting them for the honeymoon business, the destination wedding business, where you've got younger folks who are getting married or are planning to have children, and the fear of that microencephaly is what's keeping them away.
Okay. Now, this is interesting because we're talking somewhat about travel insurance as well. This is a very tenuous world these days. I don't know if it's any more tenuous than it was 20 years ago when people didn't even know what tenuous meant.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. But at the same time, in the back of your mind when you plan a trip for the future, and some of these large excursions are planned about a year ahead of time or 6 months ahead of time very frequently, should this be a concern or something that is floating in the back of your mind?
Well, you know, the great thing about the world, it's a huge place. So what we see is people will shift where they travel to.
Yeah.
They won't necessarily not travel. So the key is get travel insurance, and you want to get travel insurance that allows you to cancel for any reason.
Yeah.
That if something comes up and you want to shift, just because you mentally are a little concerned about it, but it wouldn't normally be allowed by the supplier, like the cruise line or the tour operator, if you have insurance and you can cancel for any reason, you can cancel and rebook and go somewhere else with no penalty. That's something I recommend everybody do on every trip, no matter where they're going.
Yeah, and there are different types of travel insurance. So there's cancellation, and then there's if you're sick, I think. I mean, there's various types, right?
Yeah, and what you need to do is talk to a trained professional, a travel agent. They know these companies. They know the policies. And depending on what your needs are, there are different policies. So there's not one size fits all, but I always pay a little bit more to get canceled for any reason because you never know what can come up.
Well, some of these trips can be quite expensive and sometimes the trip of one's life. So it's not a small little amount of money we're talking about here. You're kind of protecting a little bit of an investment, actually.
Well, here's what I tell people. When they book a vacation, they're typically spending at the highest discretionary level, short of buying a car or a house that year.
Yeah.
So you think about that and you say, yeah, you want to protect it. You know, in fact, the survey says that vacationers' spending is going to be up 11% this summer. So people are actually spending more on their trips, so it's even more important to protect it.
Yeah. Now, you can't just pick up travel insurance later down the road for something that you've previously booked, right? I mean, there's certain parameters involved.
There are certain parameters. You have to book a certain number of days out, and you can go ahead and purchase the trip and later add the insurance.
Yeah.
But get advice at the time you're booking the trip to make sure that you're buying the right product.
Okay. All right. Fine. All right. What other concerns or ideas do we have?
Well, I think one of the things that people look at in the market today is the sharing economy. So the sharing economy index shows that more than twice as many people this year will use a sharing service. Now, that would be Uber, Lyft, HomeAway, Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And the concentration of those users for this year is going to be 65% of millennials will use one of those services, whereas 14% of people 55 and older might use it.
Yeah,
so that
be
a number of reasons. Like if I'm in a city, I just use an Uber to come down and get on the show with you.
Right.
I use Uber all the time. Uber is kind of a low-risk thing, right, because you're just going to get in a car and go for a 10-minute drive.
Maybe.
Whereas Airbnb might be a bigger risk because you're going away for a week, you're showing up at some stranger's apartment.
Uh-huh.
But you know, sometimes it's a great experience, and every once in a while, it's a horror story. So just make sure you look at the reviews, look at how the properties or the driver in terms of Uber or the host of that property, look at how they are being reviewed, and that'll give you some confidence.
Yeah. Are these Ubers and similar companies, are they regulated state to state? In other words, will you find different regulations in one state as opposed to another?
Yeah, it's mostly how the local government can get their hands on some of the tax revenue. So Uber really regulates itself and does checks, et cetera. And then each of the local counties, like, for instance, in Fort Lauderdale, where I live, Broward County basically kicked Uber out because they made it impossible for Uber to do business.
Yeah.
And then there was an outcry, and Uber came back with new parameters, new charges tied to picking up people at the airport, for instance, and having a surcharge that went to the government.
I'm of the older area where I would rather get in a cab and see a meter running than get into somebody's car and I don't know you, where are you going to take me and rape me?
But you know what? You don't know the taxi driver either, right?
Well, that's true.
Right? So to me, I'd rather be in someone's private car that they're taking personal care of.
Yeah.
And I have friends who will never take an Uber, and I can't understand it.
Well,
so I certainly see both sides of it. You know, it's pretty interesting.
Well, I can always understand how the guy in the cab, he has to have a cab to be a cab driver. He had to get the cab somewhere. The other guy could have, you know, just take his car out of his driveway and, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, turn on his app and go, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. Okay. Where can we get more information about all of this?
All right, so go to AllianzTravelInsurance.com, and that's A-L-L-I-A-N-Z, TravelInsurance.com, because, you know, it's a challenging name sometimes, but or Google it and you'll find it. And you'll get all the information on the Vacation Confidence Index, and it's a great survey because it talks about a lot of different areas of travel that Americans are interested in.
Beautiful. Hey, Mark, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. We recorded that yesterday, day before today, and there you have that. Hey, we'll be back with more program right after these words.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water,
Aquamira,
contains only the finest, hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aquamira.
Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching Beverage Conglomeration Corporation, LLC.
Thank you.
on, huh? It's all in unison. I think we just sit down and go, oh, man, what the hell's going on? I'll tell you a quick, really stupid, insignificant story, but I'll tell it anyway. I was at a radio station in Brockton, Massachusetts. It was the year 2000. I think it was the spring of 2000. The winter had just ended. And I was standing in front of the radio station on a break. In those days, I used to do 3 hours of radio every single weekday morning. That's a lot of time on the air. 3 hours a day? Come on, man. That's a lot of time. We had news at the top of the hour, and that would run about 5 minutes, and then we go into local news, and that would run about 5 minutes, and I wouldn't come back on the air until 10 minutes after the hour. So I had 10 minutes off every single hour. And I remember going outside. I was in an office building on Main Street, and Main Street was Main Street. There were tall buildings, and I was in an office building. That's where this radio station was. And we were broadcasting, you know, Boston Providence corridor. So I was standing outside of the station. It was a beautiful day. The leaves had just come out on the trees. The trees were full. There weren't a lot of trees in the downtown area, but there were some. And the sky was blue, and it was just beautiful, and people were driving by and walking by, and they were all feeling really good because it was really the first feel of spring with all the trees out in full bloom. And I remember standing there and sighing and going, this is pretty good. Life is really pretty good. I guess things in my life were going pretty well back then. You know, no big personal hardships, no terrible things going on in my immediate family. Everybody was healthy and wise. I just felt really good. And I don't know, things were fine. I think Clinton was the president. I don't know. Yeah, maybe it was 1999 that this happened. I really don't know. But it was before 2001, let's put it that way. And the economy was fantastic. And I have another business besides doing radio, and that was like booming. I was just doing really, really well. And I thought it's perfect. Everything was just great. And then I thought to myself, within the span of time, just standing outside, said to myself, why are things so good? With all the things that could go wrong in the world, why do they not go wrong? Why are things so good right now? And I remember thinking that to myself and thinking, man, I am blessed to be in the United States. There are some trouble spots in the world. There's the Middle East with the Palestinians, Israelis, a whole bit. But this is just a great country. People just seem to get it here in the United States that we all try to look out for each other and everything's fine and nothing really happens of any horrible consequence. And then Bush became president. And the 9/11 incident in 2001 occurred. And I remember the day on 9/11, I was saying to myself, Ron, remember not too long ago you were standing out in front of the radio station remarking about how perfect and safe everything was? I actually thought back to that. And every time there is a horrible tragedy that is induced by pure evil, such as what just happened in France, in Nice, I hearken back to that day that I stood outside in front of that building before all of this horrible mindset began. Because it was then that I think we all said to ourselves back in 2001 that things are going to change forever. That feeling that I had standing outside of the radio station of pure contentment might have been the last. There might be infinitum, a new attitude in the back of one's head that says, yeah, things are great, but this could always happen. And that's the unfortunate part. And that's why I sit here and I sigh and I say, oh, man. Yeah. That's why. All right, kids, we're going to move on, shall we? I think we should.
Yes, I got what I deserve. Kept you waiting there too long, my love. All that time without a word. Didn't know you'd think that I'd forget. I'd regret. Special love.
Well, it's hot. Most areas of the country, it's hot. It's the summer, and it's time for things to get hot. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. I believe that was a song by Gershwin. No, probably not. In any event, it is getting hot in here, and there are heat waves going on as we speak, and it might even be in where you are, because we go nationwide in the Northeast having a heat wave as well. So I thought it would be interesting to speak to an expert about air conditioning. I just thought that it popped into my mind, and I thought that would be a really good idea, because that's the kind of stuff I do. I think of good ideas like that. So what's the most efficient way to run your air conditioner? I guess that would be interesting to us. Because it is hot. I mean, in the winter, you can always put on tons of clothes. But in the summer, when it gets really, really hot, you can't take your skin off. Or can you? So this is a sponsored interview here with the good people at Lennox Cooling and Air Conditioning and Lennox Equipment. And they've got some tips for us about staying cool during these really, really hot days. And Jennifer Franz will join us here to discuss.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Jennifer Franz joins us now. She's an energy efficient expert. I need that. So I'm glad you're here. This is like having
I'm glad to be here.
Yes. So it's the summer, obviously, and a lot of places, well, actually, as we speak, there's a heat wave going on for most of the country, and that means higher energy bills, usually, with the air conditioning units and the central air and the everything, and we start to get a little bit nervous about those costs.
Absolutely. The Lennox Energy Report Card Survey we did recently found that while homeowners consider themselves pretty good about energy savings, yeah, they rated themselves mostly a B, they still have a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah. And how do we improve that? I know that a survey was taken. They are concerned, and they think they could be paying less, almost everybody, I would assume. Well, how do we actually achieve that?
Well, it's very achievable. There are a lot of ways that you can think small for big changes. As you mentioned, the heating and cooling system of your home can actually account for 50% of your home energy bill. So there are easy changes you can make there, yeah, such as simply remembering to change your filters. You know, a typical 1-inch filter you might buy at Walmart probably needs to be changed once a month. So doing something like setting a reminder on your phone or even using your energy bill as a reminder to replace that filter, yeah, could really help. Another thing would be patching leaks in your windows and doors with caulk or weather stripping.
Uh-huh.
You know, just taking a walk around your house outside, if you feel areas where cold air is coming out, that's basically air that you've paid to condition escaping.
Oh. So it's kind of like the same thing in the winter. You flip it on the summer, make sure that there's no leaks or cracks for extreme cold or extreme hot.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. What about temperature-wise? Are we did the survey show that we like it too cold in our homes or in our businesses, or what's supposed to be the comfortable temperature?
Well, I don't know if there is a right answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, temperature can depend on a number of things, whether the humidity level, you know, a person's personal interest. We did find that many homeowners said they would be willing to raise the temperature from how they usually keep it if it would help them to save $50 a month.
Yeah.
A great way to do that is, you know, with a programmable thermostat, obviously, but we found that many people either don't set their programmable thermostats or, you know, they realize that this program doesn't actually match their real life. They override it and it never gets set again.
Oh.
With something like a smart thermostat, such as Lennox's iComfort S30, those types of thermostats actually know when you're home or not. So you don't have to worry about setting a program. It's kind of a set it and forget it thing.
Yeah, I like that.
And then when you're not home, you're saving money just by having a more energy efficient saving on your setting on your thermostat.
How does it know that you're not home?
Well, there are a couple of different ways they work. With the Lennox iComfort S30, it uses geofencing. So basically, using your cell phone's GPS, and once you pass a certain distance away from your home, it starts to change the temperature to a more energy-efficient setting.
Wow.
Then, when it sees that you're coming back, it returns it to your comfortable setting, so that when you get home, you're comfortable in your home, and you saved energy, and it never even affected you.
Wow, that's so cool, kind of. It's a little scary. It's a scary in a sense, but it's also cool. My air conditioning knows when I'm on my way home. That's a little weird, but yeah, I guess that works. Okay. All right. So I get an energy letter from my energy company like once every few months, and it shows me how I'm doing in comparison to my neighbors, and I always look horrible. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, and I don't know what they're doing that I'm not doing. I don't know, but it does make me feel like there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, you personally at least may consider getting something like a home energy audit.
Yeah,
your local utility company may offer a rebate or discount on such a thing.
Yeah,
they would have somebody actually come into your home and look around. You know, you may need better insulation, you may need a more energy-efficient heating and cooling system.
Yeah.
There are a number of ways you can make your home more energy-efficient, and somebody doing an energy audit would certainly be able to point some of those out for you specifically.
I wish they'd call it an energy, like, survey. An audit is such a... I don't like that word. I don't care for that. All right. So, how do we get more information about this?
Well, you can visit Lennox.com to find more energy savings tips.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, we're running an energy savings superstore contest where we're asking people to submit their own creative tips for an opportunity to win up to $10,000 in heating and cooling equipment and other prizes like a year's worth of ice cream.
Oh, yeah, you get a year's worth of ice cream, then you have to spend all the money to keep it cold. All right, but still, okay, it's a nice idea nonetheless. All right, what's the most interesting tip that you've run across, whether it be from, you know, a common person or something that's, like, really interesting?
Well, level of interest varies. I think one thing that I see a lot of people do, which isn't the best idea, is running ceiling fans in rooms they're not in.
Ah.
The ceiling fan doesn't actually change the temperature in your home. It just makes people cooler. So if you're in the room with the fan on, it's a great idea because that means you can set your temperature in your thermostat a little higher and still feel good. But running fans in rooms you're not in is actually just wasting energy and creating more heat in the room.
Well, see, that's a great tip. I had no idea. I thought it actually cooled down the room, but it just makes you more comfortable when you're in it. I get it now. Okay, that was worth the question in itself, Jennifer. I like that. All right, one more time, that website. I believe it's Lennox.com, Lennox.com, and you can get all these tips and information there. Why spend money when you don't have to, right?
Exactly.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay. Well, we're out of time for today. Monday, Tori Lagarde will join me. Yeah, Monday's show. She is at a beach house that her family has on the Cape, and went down there to visit it recently, and we decided to do a show from the seaside location. If you listen carefully, you can actually hear the waves and the people drowning in the background, so it's pretty cool. So we sat down and we went through it all through our heads, and we did our crazy stuff and just dissected the things that we go through every day. So join me for that on Monday. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, stay cool, and I wish you peace.